How many love a vacation? How many need a vacation in this place? Couple people. I could use one of those. Man, that was some awesome worship. Thank you so much, worship team. There's nothing quite like... It's not just singing songs, right? When we connect with heaven, it's because we have a part to play. You know, there's nothing... I mean, you can have music that's flashy. You can have the lights. You can have smoke even coming out at some churches, you know? But without anointed human participation, what is it? It's just a concert, right? The thing is, when we connect with God, we are shaking things here in Saskatoon. You have things on desires on your heart. God says, speak those out. He responds to faith. He responds to his word. We're singing those songs. We're not just having a, this is the time before the preach. This is the time I get to sip my coffee. Hallelujah, this coffee's good. I don't know what you're thinking at the time. But, man, there's something. Something about when that worship gets to a certain place. Now I'm just chatting with you before I get going. But, man, I love when people just start. This is them. Hallelujah. And then I just see, oh, I see their foot. Their feet just start going like this. Oh, now they're just doing this. Hallelujah. Oh, man, come on. We got to get dancing up in this place. I want to have some church. At that 27-hour thing, worship, I just felt like I needed to jump in a circle. I'm like, I've never done this before. Oh, I went about halfway. A couple times, I just sway. I went another halfway. No, finally, I just went and did it. But, you know, it's so silly. Sometimes it's so silly, but you got to get free. Some people think worship, music, is just going to... It's not doing it for me this morning. It's not pulling me in. I'm not condemning you guys or rebuking you guys. You guys are awesome. But sometimes you got to just step into it, you know. God wants us to participate. He doesn't want to just... Yeah, anyways, good enough. Let's head together to John 6:63. When we sing these words, today we're talking again about unity. We're talking about together, talking about the power of strength when we are together. But I just, before we start, we're going to go to 6:63. I was reading this just before I came up. He says, this is Jesus talking. He says, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. I think sometimes we forget when we sing these words, we're not just singing words. We agree with Jesus. We are agreeing with heaven. These words that we speak are spirit and they are life. I just want to connect with God this morning. I want to sing what he is saying. When I hear the truth of God in the word, I want to speak that over my life. I don't want to look to my circumstances and let that dictate where I'm going. Things might be broken, but I want to speak wholeness into a situation. Things might be hurting, but I want to speak restoration and healing. I want to rise above. Who wants to rise above? That's good. All right, that was not part of it. So we're going to go to Mark 13 this morning, if you have your Bibles. I'm reading from the NIV. I know everyone's got a smartphone, so just flip to Mark 13. So this is Jesus in a public setting. Verse 1 says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as many people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil and underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as they'd been planted. And then Jesus says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Just before we get jumping into this, oftentimes when Jesus was in like a big group or around Pharisees or around larger groups, he would speak in these parables. He'd speak in these stories. Sometimes they're a little bit mysterious. And the disciples would often have to come up to Jesus and be like, this is in verse 10 now. He says, his disciples came and asked, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? Sometimes Jesus, okay, I'm going to get to it. Okay, verse 11, he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they'll have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Jesus would say things like, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Jesus, I think before we get going again, sorry, I'm just like, before we get going, there's something about this word, this Bible. You know, Jesus would be talking to the disciples and they'd be like, you talk to the multitude. But Jesus, when he came with just the 12, he said, I'm going to explain this to you boys. I think it's just something we need to just take a little more. This is so sacred. Jesus shared this with 12 men. Like, it's a mystery to some people, but that we would have recorded the words that God in the flesh comes down and he would share. He would reveal the secret of that parable. He would reveal the truth of these stories. I think it's just, this is so sacred. This is so life, eh? Amen. Okay, sorry. Verse 16, he said, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. That's fascinating again. Prophets and righteous people long to hear what we get to hear right now. Verse 18. Now listen to this explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Verse 20, the seed on rocky soil represents those who don't have deep roots and they don't last long. They fall away soon and they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and no fruit is produced. And 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. Can we just pray this morning? God, as we seek you, as we read the words you spoke, Jesus, would you illuminate the words to our hearts? God, we want to meet with you this morning. We don't want to read a history book. We don't want to read a book just because it was written 2,000 years ago, but we read it because it's still alive. You are still alive, and through your word, we want to hear your voice this morning. So God, everything I'm about to say and everything that people are about to hear, God, just let it be you. Amen. Whew. God's purpose for mankind is the church. Who believes that this morning? God did not die. I'm not going to get into that right. Some people think like, I'm getting ahead of myself. The purpose is the church. I just want to rant sometimes, but it's not the place. To bring many sons and daughters to glory. So there's a seed that was placed in your heart, truth placed in your heart. Verse 20, the evil one wants to steal that away. Verse 21, it says we need to take root. People are going through problems. People are going through things, and there's a thing that wants to steal. It's like birds that would come and steal that seed out of your heart. But it's talking about we need godly counsel, prayer, strength in God's word. Verse 22, there's a place where the worries of life and the lure of living a life focused on the temporary would steal that seed away. I believe God has the church because he doesn't want anybody going alone. We see this as early as Adam and Eve. We see that God wants people in union. Just like the Trinity is three in one, even the Trinity doesn't go alone. Us as a group, we're so much in connection with one another. God is present. Two or more agree in my name, I am there. You could pray anything in my name and it shall be done. If you pray with his will, talking about the church this morning. Hallelujah. And then verse 23, there's just those who get it, and they're on fertile soil. When we read this, we're reading the secrets that Jesus gave just to those 12. This is just a sacred moment. So, hallelujah. Oh, God. This is really powerful. I just want the Lord to just speak this morning. Like, success is not, like, in this church, success is not found when we pack this whole place out, when this church is packed out. You know what? Success is found when all of us can get to some fertile soil and run the race together. Whether this is 20, 30, 60, fully packed, true success for me as the pastor is when I can see each one of you is living your best life. Each one of you is finding fertile soil. Numbers are great, and if it happens, it happens. But you know what? I want us all to walk in unity. If we can walk together as a church body, we can walk together strong. How many know that one person, say if 300 people were here, am I going to be able to look after every single person? It's not going to happen. Someone's going to get missed. That's why we're a body. It's just like a good, if I'm trying to give a punch, but I got no fist, that's an awkward punch. That was maybe not the best example. But we are the body together. We need one another to go. We're not just these people that are just on the defense. We need to move forward together. Beautiful thing. Community is a beautiful thing. This is a quick story about where we've come from. In the 20s, Ford Company, you know, trucks, they created the Model T. And then next was the affordable car. In the 30s and the 40s, people started getting the car, creating highways. They started creating overpasses, all these new things, new roads. This was the new age that we were entering into. So these men who would have to take the trolley to get to work every day were now forced, just how it is, they started to shut down the trolley system. These men that would be able to have 30, 40 minutes together in a group of even just 10 men, maybe all their worker buddies, they all went to work together. They have a quick chat. This is now, you know what? They're driving alone. I know this might just be the simplest illustration, but when that happened, guess what? 40 minutes of every day, no more in community. And you know, there used to be a husband, and now, you know what? The husband's gone with the car. Guess what? The wife's got to get a car too. It's just everyone's driving constantly. Community is so important. Just at that moment, imagine just like, if that was like 10% of your day, community with somebody, just cut off, just like that. Where am I going with this? I'm talking about community with one another. We have such a world where it's so easy to just go through life. We're going through Facebook, we're going through Twitter, we're going through things to connect with people, but never having a one-on-one conversation. I have friends that I keep accountable with. And I really do want to help their lives, but a lot of them actually like live in different provinces, different postal codes. So I'm like, hey, how's it going on text, right? I get a quick text back. Everything's good, man. Great to hear. Then I ask them a question about their heart. Hey, how's this going? It's funny how like the text takes longer now. It was immediate. Now, life's good. I'm like, all right. We could do that for a month. Then one day I'll just call them randomly out of the blue. How's life doing? Good. I'll ask them that same question about their heart. How's this? I hear it in their voice. I hear it in the little bit. Guess what? Now we're talking about a situation. There's some things that we can't just rely on text. We can't just rely on these forms of communication. Sometimes we need to pick up the phone. Give somebody a call. I love that. I mean, I'm not trying to help people to get them in a trap. I'm trying to call people to help them, right? You can hear something in somebody's voice. Man, text is so easy just to like exactly like display yourself exactly how you want to be seen. It's like Facebook with the tagged picture and then the profile picture can be completely different. But so what I was saying about the car there, progress wiped out 10% of those men's time to have community with other men. And it might not seem like a big deal, but each one of us need community. It's healthy for us. So let's use Facebook. Let's use those things let's use progress to get us to into community, okay? Let's use those things to say, hey, let's make a plan to actually meet up face-to-face. All right. Because Facebook isn't bad, everybody. It's okay. Pause. Man, I love that. Your status is some quote from C.S. Lewis. Anyways, just everything just appears so perfect on Facebook. But it's not. And we just got to admit sometimes we're broken and we need some help. Lord, help me. Let's have a sip of coffee. I love you guys. I just want to share the word this morning. This is C3. We're not a C3 movement. We are C3 church, and even you can call it C3 family. You know what? I'm not even life groups. We don't call them, come on over. It's a church group. No, we want to have people in homes and houses meeting and sharing life together. You know, even at church here, we have people meeting in coffee shops, meeting in homes, meeting in restaurants, meeting at the pubs, anywhere so that life can happen. That, I'm not trying to do a promo for that, but it's a cry for relationship. We are a body. We have a big picture of what God is doing when we're tied into a local body. How many have heard this phrase? Just me and Jesus. That's all I need. I have a lot of people that don't want to come to church. I hear them talk and they say that same phrase. Oh man, brother, you do your church thing. I'm happy. Just me and Jesus. Then when they start attending church, these are the type of people that usually can find problems with everything. It's so easy when you're not in a community to point out things that aren't going so well. It's so easy when you're on your own little pond to not be part of the river of what God's doing. Another reason we need community is that reason. We can't get stuck up in our own thoughts, running in circles in our own little swampy mess. We need to get into the river of what God's doing. These are just little pictures. I want to hear an amen. Amen. I was looking at Curtis there. We're a body. Let's get connected together. Relationships, people are so valuable. So I often hear this word, let's be authentic. Let's be real. You know, these are kind of the cool words of the nowadays. But really what I'm saying is, when we can be a community with one another, when we can be real, authentic, I want to be the type of person that when somebody's going through a hard time, I want them to be able to say, I could pick up the phone and call Brock. I feel like that's the purpose of the church. You know what? Let's not go ahead of what other people's situations are. Why not, when they're having a hard time, be with them in that place? When they're going through good times, rejoice in that place. We're supposed to be a body together. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, baby. I feel like I'm teaching this morning rather than preaching. I love to preach. We take life groups quite seriously around here. Community is not just dealing with problems and we stay put with them. Community is a place that we can lift one another's burdens. Community is a place where we can look to the word, look higher, look above situations, walk together. Because in the end, we're not just overcoming something, we are becoming something together. We need to pray for one another. We are strong in prayer. Prayer moves God. Everything in life was not predestined. Everything in life was not, we have no part to play. It's just going to happen. I'm going to get to James 5:14. Some people just say, we can't change anything. Man, my circumstances, they can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to, they're not going to change. But James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. If we couldn't change circumstances, why would we have this? Some people believe that the healings, miracles stopped with the 12 disciples. I've heard that taught. But in here it says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Even this morning, I don't want to just talk about it. I want us to be able to pray for you in your circumstance this morning. if everything's not okay, maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you have a circumstance. I want us to be able to pray with you this morning. I might even call the band up right now. I want to talk about the power of prayer, even in my own life. When I was young, you know, my parents were going through a hard time, and they split up for a little while. And in that moment, they had a choice where they could either, they're asking questions like, what do I do? Like, should I stay together or should I let, you know, them find somebody else and be happy? And luckily, my parents went to a church that believed in prayer. And they had a pastor that said, hey, why don't you look to the Word of God for your answer? And then in short time, you know, it actually took months and years to be restored. But in that moment, my parents said, you know what? No. As we get into the Word, as we pray, we believe God wants to restore this marriage. So in this morning, this is not just about coming to a place where it's just the sweet music, someone's talking to you. We actually want to pray into your circumstances. We believe in the Word of God here at this church. We want to speak life into you. Even if this morning, as the music's going, we're going to have a few people on this side and on this side, people that I trust here in the church to pray into your life. If you're looking to God for an answer, we want to be here for you. We want to be practical right now. We are community that wants to love on you this morning. So if you would stand with us, we're going to sing God, I Look to You. And just before we go, it says, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. We're going to pray the Word over your life this morning. We're going to pray into your circumstances. God wants to see His will in your life unfold. It can be anything this morning. So as we sing, I'm going to come down to the front. I'm going to have another couple, Robin and Sean, come to the front to pray into your life. And we honestly, this is not just going to just touch your shoulder. We want to speak into your situation. We want to even get a word of God and talk into your life, speak into your life. So this morning as we sing, if you feel you'd like to come on out, just come on up to the sides here and we're going to pray. Amen. Church, I want us to, even as we just continue to just be in that peaceful place of worship, God has a part of the body in this church. What I'm trying to say is there are teachers needed in this church for this body. That person is in this place even now. Look into your heart even now. There are worship leaders in this place even now. We as a body, we don't have to go look somewhere to hire somebody. I believe they are right here in this place. Look into your heart. God, what are you calling me to? There are people that have the gift to help, to love, to give compassion in this place right now. As we continue to worship, as we continue to think upon unity, let's begin to ask, Lord, what are you calling me to? What is your purpose for me in this place, in this season in my life right now? Ultimately, that we as a church, when we gather every Sunday, when we gather together, we're asking the same question, how can I best lift up Jesus? We don't come just to attend. We come to lift one another's burdens, and we come to lift up Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to pray, God, what may you be drawing me to, God? I really don't believe that it is somewhere else. I believe the part of the body, the strength is here, even now. Let us pray and just continue to seek God, rest in Him. You don't have to strive. You don't have to work. He's right here. He's a good Father that wants to walk with you. Let's just continue to worship and draw. Lord, what are you calling us to? What is your focus for this time, Jesus? Use me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Place, God, our hearts desire unity. Our hearts desire to walk together as a body, Jesus.
Even now, Jesus, we pray, would you unite our hearts as one through your Spirit? We agree with your prayer, God. You said, in the same way I relate to you, Father, would they relate with me, Jesus, one another in unity. The same unity I have with you, Father, may they have it, Jesus. And we agree with that prayer in John 17, Jesus. Our hearts want to be united. So God, even from this place, we commit to speaking life. We commit to coming to your word and not speaking the circumstance, but speaking your word. Jesus, your promises we commit to speak over each other, over one another in this body, God, and over our lives as well, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you.
Sorry, we don't do this a whole lot here, but we strongly believe that God speaks to us and he gives us words of encouragement. And just as we were worshiping now, I just felt like God was speaking to me and saying there's somebody, maybe more than one person in this place who you're in a situation, and this week especially, it's just felt crushing, like you can't see any way out of it and that you just can't understand how you possibly could feel peace about it. And I just feel like God is speaking this morning and saying, although the waves are so great, he has made your feet to walk on the water, and you can do it this week in him. And we just encourage you to seek him, and we're telling you that you are empowered and you are able and you are filled with the Spirit of God. And we hope that you can just speak that peace of God that surpasses all understanding over that circumstance this week. And we believe next week you'll be coming up to us and telling us all about how God overcame it for you this week.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was good. Amen. Well, and if you feel so bold to come up and still receive some prayer, come on out. But I want you to know, we're here throughout the week. Feel free to call us up. Feel free to write it on one of those cards and leave it in one of the offerings. And you know what? We're going to get in contact with you this week. So we're going to continue with some worship here. But I want you to know that you're released this morning if you'd like to go, if you got some family plans. But God bless you. We are praying for you every day this week. And have an amazing week. We love you guys. We're going to continue some worship.